71. And so if you have your Bibles, I have this on the board for you, but we are going to go to Psalms 91 this morning. And I want to finish. We started this several weeks ago back at the end of October, and of course some of the holidays and some of the messages we had to preach there. So I'm going to try to finish the last few verses. I think we got through verse number 7, and so that's where we're going to be picking that up today. But I want to read all 16 verses this morning in Psalms 91. I'll be reading in the NIV version. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." Now, folks, I just want to, I know you know this, but everything after verse 1 is the reason it begins to happen this way. Everything is contingent upon verse 1 in our life. That's our part. That's what we decide. That's what we learn. That's what we discipline our life to do. And because we do that, God does incredible things for us when we do verse 1. If we omit verse 1 in our life, then none of the else can apply. No other verses can apply to us. It has to be contingent upon verse 1. We cannot go in and start taking out verses out of the Bible and start saying, well, he'll give his angels charge over us and he'll take care of us. That's only the benefit of those who spend time with God. Can I get a better amen than that? He watches us very, very carefully. And this is something that is very, very important to him about the time that you spend with him. So when we read that, I don't want to read that too fast before we understand what the benefits of this, because there's people that they accept the Lord, but they never develop this. They never put a priority on this, and because they don't, nothing in their life, nothing even as a Christian really ever comes the way it's supposed to happen, and it's because things are not in order yet. I'm not saying that you're not going to go to heaven. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not the judge. That's between you and the Lord. But I am telling you this, if you want the benefits of God, then you're going to have to spend time with him. That's just the way he has set it up. It is his to do, and he has set it up this way. You know, I wasn't raised in church, so this became such a shock to me that the Lord wanted to have a personal relationship with me. That was as foreign as it got to me. But as I began to accept that by faith and began to implement that into my life, then things began to work towards the things that God wanted me to have, and to have him and to understand him. So I want to read it one more time. He or she who dwells, in the King James it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide or rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I will trust. Surely he will save me from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings will you find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000, verse 7, may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you, or he will give them charge over you to guard you or keep you in all of your ways. Then they will lift you up in their hands so that that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And you will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because, verse 14, he or she loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue them. I will protect them, for they acknowledge my name. They will call upon me, and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will deliver them and honor them. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. Can you say amen for the word of the Lord? Father, we thank you now, Lord, for the time that we have to just get into your word and let the word get into us. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you will help us to keep our minds focused on, Lord, what you're saying to us today. I believe with all of my heart, Lord, that you have a personal message for each one of us here out of these verses. Help us, Lord, to hear what you're saying and to hold tight to them, Lord, because it's your words in our life that bring life, hope, strength, and a future for us. Lord, we hope, Lord, today. We hope in you. We hope in your word. We hope, Lord, in your blessing in our life today. We thank you, Lord, that not only do you bless us just for ourselves, but you bless us to be a blessing to other people. Lord, I thank you today, and now I pray, Holy Spirit, lead this time of ministry now. We're listening to you, Holy Spirit. We want you to speak to us, Holy Spirit. We want to listen to you, and above all, we want to obey and do what you're telling us to do. Lord, if we find what you're telling us to do, what sounds impossible, then Lord, help us to realize that you will give us the strength to obey you and to do that impossible. For your word says that, Lord, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And Lord, we'll praise you and we'll love you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say a good amen. This is talking about your hidden life with the Lord. You've got to have that. That's absolutely incredible to the existence of Christianity in your life. And that is that you must have a hidden part with God. That simply means that there must be time that you and Lord spend alone. That you want that, that you understand that, that that's something inside of you that it's like breathing to you. Even though you breathe without even thinking about it, a hidden life with God is somebody that says, I have got to spend time with the Lord. I cannot omit that in my life. That becomes as much about breathing as it does about anything else in my existence. You know, I thank the Lord for Zach and these young ladies that went out and passed out blankets and gave food out to these that are hungry. And, you know, Jesus says the poor we'll always have with us. There'll always be those that have needs. And we want to be very sensitive to those needs and help them. But, you know, that's not the only reason that we're out there to do that. They've got to move from a place that we give them blankets or food or whatever, that we try to help them to come into a relationship with the Lord. Amen? Because that's what he wants more than anything. He doesn't just want to clothe them and feed them. He wants them to have a relationship with him. And that's what so many people are void of understanding, is that God, who created everything, the creator of all things, wants to have a personal relationship with them. What more could a person even understand that is down on their luck, that needs food and clothing, to understand that God, who created them, wants to have a personal relationship with them? But he does. And that is, I believe, part of what the reason that when they look at Zach or they look at these young ladies and they look at them and they say, why would people like that come out and give blankets and clothes? And the only motive that they have for doing that is because they believe this is what would honor the Lord and please the Lord. And this is what the Lord would do in order. Because we know that the Lord fed the hungry. We know that the Lord, he blessed people that were not, he didn't ask them questions about where they were, if they were going to stay for a service or what their past was. He just wanted to bless them. How many thank God for a God that is full of blessing? That he wants to bless you, that he wants out of his heart. And I believe that God's people have the same kind of desire. They want to bless them. They want to be a blessing to other people. That's the nature of Christianity. It's being Christ-like in everything that they do. Once we come into Christianity and we begin to understand that the Lord is our Savior and that there's no one else could have saved us, we have to understand that he wants a relationship with us. He wants us to understand that and work on that. Most of the problems in the world are relational. In our world today, most of the Middle East is the war in the Middle East and the upheaval in the Middle East is based upon relationships or broken relationships that didn't work the way they were supposed to work. And many times in your life, things are falling apart because of relational issues, things that are not working the way they're supposed to because of relation. But I have found out when I came to know the Lord, my whole life was a shambles and I was just a complete wreck. And when I met the Lord and with the help of other people around me telling me about the priority of the Lord, the more I put the Lord as a priority in my life, the more my life began to become centered. The more it began to make sense to me. The more things began to work together for me. And that was predicated upon me putting the Lord where he needed to be and then keeping the Lord where he had to be. And I believe this psalm is talking about this. You know, I don't think that you, and I think you can understand this, but anyone who would enter a relationship with someone called God Almighty, which we call El Shaddai, or another word is El Elyon, which means he's the Most High God, or El Olam, which means he's the Everlasting God, or all the bywords of God, such as Jehovah Jireh, that he's a provider, Jehovah Nisi, that he's our banner, Jehovah Rapha, that he's our healer. Jehovah Shalom, that he's our peace. Jehovah Tsidkenu, because he's our righteousness. You have to understand something. Anyone that would enter a relationship with someone like that has to understand that there's going to be incredible benefits and blessings that come in that relationship. Can I get an amen for that? See, things happen because we are in a relationship with the Lord. Great things begin to take place. Supernatural things begin to take place. When we read Psalms 91, what you see is the supernatural provision of God to take care of people that are in a relationship with him so that they can finish what he called them to do. See, on the earth, we're not just put here to do what we want. We're put here to do what God wants us to do. That's the least we can do for all that he's done for us. Can I get an amen? That's why I stress to people that are Christians, understand what the will of God is. Know what the will of God is. If you don't understand that, then study to know it. Ask the Lord to show you the will of God in your life. Ask him to show you what he wants out of your life. Ask him to show you what he's created you to be. Be sensitive to what God wants of you, because everything in your life will either line up in that direction towards what God wants, or it won't line up at all. People will go through their whole life never knowing that God had such an incredible purpose and plan for their life because they never simply had the time to stop and ask him. They were too busy doing what they wanted to do, not what God wanted them to do. Selfish people are incredibly miserable people. When all you think about is yourself, then it gets to be a very small world, and everything that rotates around you become very narcissistic, where everything has to revolve around you. When you come to church, you don't think about what you can give. It's about what you can get. When you come in here, you don't think about giving worship to God. It's about how it's going to affect you. I find that when people come to church, and especially Pentecostal church, and people get loud and they jump and they even run, and people get upset about that. And I wonder, why are you upset about something like that? This has nothing to do with you. It's not for you. It's not directed at you. It's just you're in the same room where it's happening. This is directed towards the Lord, and he deserves every bit of it. Amen. And you know, it's the same thing that when the scribes and the Pharisees told the people, when they began to cry out, they told them to shut up. And he said, if they don't cry out, he said, the stones are going to cry out. He said, because it's the right thing to do to praise this God. It's always the right thing to do to lift your voice and say, Lord, you are worthy of all of our praise. At any time, day or night, in any service, Sunday morning, Monday night, Tuesday morning, it's always the right thing to say, Lord, you are worthy of all of my praise. Like right now, if I was just to say, let's just look up and say, Lord, you're worthy of my praise. Let's just do that right now. Lord, you're worthy of all of my praise. Lord, we love you and we praise you for everything that you're doing. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, how you are protecting us and helping us through it all. And Lord, we love to praise you. We love to do that, Lord. And Lord, we will not let anyone intimidate us and stop us from ever praising you in the name of Jesus. I don't have time to wait around and explain that to people when it comes time to praise and worship the Lord. Amen. It's just time to praise him and to worship him. In verse 7, I want to start here about, it says that 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. This is almost describing like a battlefield. This is almost like if you've ever seen any movies that have battlefields, you're talking about thousands of men that are on the battlefield. And this is kind of what he's talking about here. It's kind of a battlefield scenario. And what he's talking about here is that in this world, it's almost like a battlefield out there. And he said, there's thousands on this side and there's thousands on that side. And he said, but what's going to affect so many in that army? He said, it will not affect you. He said, I'm going to put a divine protection around you that it will not come near you. There are things that will affect your neighbors. There are things that will affect your coworkers. There are things that will affect even other people in your family. But because you have a relationship with the Lord, it will not affect you. There are things that will run people over, that will literally destroy them, that will just tear them apart. But because a person has a relationship to the Lord, it will not be able to come near them. That's what his word says. He says, 1,000 may fall at your side. See, you will see this. You know, most of the time, every day, I read the headlines of Channel 13 and Channel 11 on my iPhone. And I'm just amazed at all the horrible things that are taking place in our country, in our city, in our state. The things that people are doing to each other. And I'm thinking, my Lord, the horrible the evil that is running rampant in our land. It is just unreal what's happening. And I just think, Lord, thank you, the Lord, that you're protecting me. I can see thousands falling on this side and thousands on that side. But Lord, you said it will not come near me. To who? To those who dwell in secret with the Lord, who spend time with the Lord, who seek God and want what God wants more than anything else. That's what verse 7 is talking about this. When I think about this and I think about all the things that could happen to us, you know, when people start saying, you know, as long as I have a good job and I have some money in the bank and everybody seems to be healthy and everybody's strong, how many know that's very thin? That can change overnight. I mean, on the way to church today, when I passed Valero and saw $1.79, I just told Debbie, I said, I just have this funny feeling. We're fixing to get sucker punched from somewhere. Something doesn't seem right with this. It just doesn't seem right that not too long ago we were paying $3.30-something and all of a sudden it's cut in half and there's really no explanation for it. It's just unreal how that things began to happen. What I'm saying is that I'm not comfortable with what I see happening. But what I am comfortable in is that I'm comfortable in what God has promised me. And those promises are not predicated on what anything that men can do. It's based upon what he's told me I can do, what he'll do for me. And that's why he says that as we put that. So I want to make sure that whatever I'm doing, that I understand that the Lord is causing me to be able to not be run over by certain things. It doesn't matter. The bottom may fall out. I don't know what's fixing to happen in the oil industry and the energy industry and what's going to happen in our government. And I'm praying for the people in France that are dealing with some of the things that they're having to deal with over there. But I want to tell you something. 1,000 may fall at this side and 10,000, but he says it won't come near you. Can I get a better amen than that? I'm talking about the divine provision of God. I just thought of a couple of examples of this that I wanted to show you. In Luke chapter 4, just a couple of verses, it says, and this is after Jesus gave this great, incredible sermon, and after he was through preaching, it says all the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up and drove him out of the town and took him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him down the cliff. But he walked right through the crowd and went on his way. See, there are things that are so supernatural in your life that will come to take you, to destroy you, but the Lord will cause you to pass right through it. And it will not touch you. There is no human explanation for what happened. They had him. They took him to the brow of the hill. And the next thing you hear is that he just simply walked through the crowd and went on his way. That's the way it happens with us. There are things in your life that will come at you to destroy you, your marriage, your children, your health. Things will come and grab you and will take you to the edge, to the brow, and want to throw you over and destroy you. And you'll find yourself coming out of that and not even realizing, what happened here? I'll tell you what happened. God stepped in and he said it will not touch you. You will pass right through the midst of it. I guarantee you there are things in your life that if you would go back in your memory, you would think, and you could remember there are times it got so close to your destruction, but God caused you to pass right through the midst of it. Why was it? Because God's supernatural provision in Psalms 91 was there to help you pass right through the center of it. Another one that I found in Acts chapter 28, and these are just things that I know that you've read, but it says, once safely on shore, this is Paul, we found out that the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Verse 3, Paul gathered a pile of brushwood, and as he put it on the fire, a viper or a snake driven out by the heat fastened itself on his hand. When the islanders saw the snake hanging from his hand, they said to each other, this man must be a murderer, for though he escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But Paul shook the snake off into the fire and suffered no ill effects. Then the people expected him to swell up or suddenly fall dead. But after waiting a long time and seeing nothing unusual happen to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. He's throwing sticks on a fire, and this snake comes out and grabs him on the hand. They know what kind of snake it is. It's a viper. It's a deadly, poisonous snake. He just simply just goes on with what he's doing. They realize, my God, he's doomed. He's been judged by God. After a while, he realizes nothing happens to him, and they turn their thing. See, let me tell you something. There are times the enemy will come, and he will literally take a hold of you. He will grab you. But God will give you the ability to shake it off. I honestly think sometimes when we come in here in praise and worship, that's what we're doing a lot. We're just shaking off what he's trying to hang on with. And what should have killed us will kill him. How many has ever had that shaking going on? You know, Pentecostals have said that they were shakers, rollers and shakers a long time. But I'm telling you, there's a shaking that God does in his people that causes the enemy to let go of us, and the poison will not have an effect upon us. See, that's what I'm believing for Noel. I don't know what's caused his physical body to begin to shut down, but I'm telling you something. When we went in there and prayed, I prayed for it to be reversed and for it to back out of his system and for God to give him a healthy report. That's what I'm praying. Amen? Somebody say amen. Amen. See, God supernaturally can protect his people from things that would in otherwise destroy others. They won't destroy you. Why? Because you're doing what God has called you to do. You're spending time with God. You're in church. You're praising God. You're doing what nobody else will do. And God takes note of it. What grabs you to throw you over the brow, the heel, or what grabs hold of you to bite you and put poison into you. And let me tell you something. There's a lot of demon spirits out there that would love to get their hands on us. But because of God's supernatural protection, they cannot bite it. Somebody just praise him. I'm telling you. Somebody just praise him in here today. Come on, just praise him in here today. Praise him, praise him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because it's not their ability to do it. It's because God's supernatural provision of protection to keep you safe. See, you spend time with God today. God will take care of you this coming week. I don't know what's going to happen to you, but I guarantee you whatever happens to you, God is going to protect you through it. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, God wants to do this for us, and he is doing it for us. How many times in verse, let's go back to verse number 8 here. I want to keep going down here. It says that 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. You see, God has the ability to show you, when God delivered Israel, God gave Israel a front row seat to watch him dismantle Egypt. They saw it. It started with the night that the firstborn was killed, which was something that Pharaoh had pronounced upon the Israelites, and God reversed it and said, oh no, it's not going to happen to my people. It's going to happen to your people. He supernaturally protected them under that curse of Pharaoh. And they watched that and they heard it. You can hear the screams and the wails in the night as the firstborn of every family in Egypt fall dead and died. And then as they were exodusing out of Egypt down through the dry bottom of the Red Sea, and as they turned around and looked, as God caused the Red Sea to crush the Egyptian army, and they saw the bodies of this army and floating and coming ashore, they witnessed God dismantle their very enemy that was pursuing them to destroy them. Let me tell you something. The enemy may get on your trail and he may pursue you to destroy you, but you better know something. God is going to protect you through it. You are not in this thing alone. Whatever pursues you as a child of God, God will pursue it. Did you hear what I'm saying? See, the enemy may send demon spirits upon you, but God will send his angels on them. And that's why it goes right into that, because there is a supernatural provision. I can't get this right yet. I'm not in my groove yet. I'm not there yet. I don't know why I'm not there, but I'm not there yet. I'm going to get there, but I'm not there yet. People say, what in the world is he talking about? You'll know here in a minute. I'm waiting for a greater anointing to come in here. It's not in here yet. And I want it to be in here. I'm asking for it to be in here. We need it to be in here. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Help us flow like a mighty river in this place. Holy Spirit. Lord, I feel too much of me while I'm preaching. And I want it to be you. I want it to be you here. You're talking to us. You're showing us. You're helping us that we can take great comfort in your word, in this psalm. It's for us. I'm listening, Holy Spirit. Would you say that with me? Say, I'm listening, Holy Spirit. 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 I'm listening. I'm listening. I command every demonic spirit to let go of people in this place now. I submit myself, therefore, unto God, and I resist the devil on your behalf. And I demand and I command the spirit of oppression and depression to come off of you, and rejection, for you to be set free from bondage in your life. In the name of Jesus, from fear, from lack, from destruction, the Lord is setting you free. He's releasing you. For what was pursuing you, he is destroying that very thing right now. For his glory, because you have praised him, you have put your faith in him. He is for you. He is fighting your fight. Be still and know that it is God. You will not need to fight in this battle, for the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. But your part is to praise him. Your part is to worship him. Your part is to trust him that all things are going to work together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's praise Him for that. Come on, just praise Him. Just praise Him out loud. Glory to God. Let your neighbor hear you praise Him and say, thank God. Thank God He's with me today. Thank God He's for me today. Thank God He's working it out. He's working it out. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. 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 You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. See, there are things and people around you that they fight you. They come at you. But that's why the Lord tells us to release our enemies to Him. That's why He doesn't want us to have vengeance in our heart. He doesn't want us to want anything bad to happen. We just release them into His hands. And God will take care of them. And that's why He says you will see it. See, there are people that tend to come after you. The enemy stirs them up against you. And you may say that it looks like maybe they even gain or they get blessed. Or it looks like they're just going. But it's only a matter of time before that is going to have their lives are going to collapse. Why? Because you cannot defy God and make it. You cannot defy. Pharaoh defied God. And he had the strongest, the most mightiest army on the earth. But he defied God. He defied his people. He would not do what God said to do. And because of that, his whole kingdom collapsed. See, that's why it says, he that has my sayings and doeth them, I will liken them to a wise man who builds and his house will stand. But he that hears what God says and they do not do it, they're foolish. It's foolish. Their lives will collapse. It will fall apart. They won't make it. I was listening to a message last night by Lester Sumrall about the rapture and how his title was that some were taken and some were left. Some were taken and some were left. He had the boldness in that service to say, many of you in this service will not make it because you won't. You won't do what God says to do. It kind of shocked me a little bit because in our day, we don't live in a day where preachers are talking that boldly from the pulpit because of they're fearful of what people are going to do. They're either going to leave or they won't tolerate it. But there's going to be a small percentage of people because we will not do what God says to do. I don't want to be like that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like that. It's not easy having a hidden life with God. It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a made-up mind. We have to persevere in order to serve God. The word persevere comes from the word severe. Because there are severe things that happen. Last Sunday I talked about don't grow weary in well-doing, for you'll reap if you faint not. And that's a reality in all of our lives that we grow weary. But en route to victory, our trials, attacks that may become so severe, things that happen to us that, we get weary, but we don't quit. We don't understand, but we don't quit. There are people here, and there are things in your life, and you don't understand, but don't quit. It hurts, but don't quit. It may not go your way, but don't quit. You will feel like quitting, but don't quit. Persevere. God is with us. God will take care of us if we do what God says to do. Learn from your mistakes. Learn from your poor choices and your selfishness and what you wanted as opposed to God. And don't blame God for that. Take responsibility for that. Don't ask why. I don't understand why all of this is happening. It's happening because you wouldn't do what God told you to do. You did what you wanted to do. And now you're suffering. You're suffering because of it. But even in the midst of that, God comes in and He helps us through it. That's the amazing thing about it. He helps us. He sustains us. Just don't quit on God. It will be the worst mistake you'll ever make. Some of you have quit on God before, and you know it was the worst thing you ever did. The enemy wants you to quit. That's what oppression and depression does. It presses you to push you out, to get you away, to get you to quit. We cannot afford to quit. I'm reading a psalm that God says He'll protect us. He'll give us divine protection. When Paul put that in there, God could have kept a snake from biting, but there are times the enemy does bite us. But God will not allow the poison to go into our system. We just keep going. How many times has the enemy hit you? How many times has the enemy attacked you? But you're still here praising God because God saw you through it. I guarantee you. How many places have we been? If you make the Most High, and I really like the King James better. I really should have put King James on this psalm. It's really a better way to word it. I don't really even like the NIV on this. But it says, because you have made the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is your refuge. See, he it's conditional. That's a condition. It's not just carte blanche. I just don't get a credit card when I get saved. There are things I must do in order to qualify for the benefits of what God is doing. It says, praise the Lord and forget not all of His benefits. Did you read that this morning? Who forgives all of our sins and heals us of all of our diseases. Who redeems our life from the pit and crowns our life with love and compassion. These are the things He does for us. But it's not just Him doing that without us. He's responding to something in us. He says here in verse 9, because you have made the Most High your dwelling, this is where you live. You live with God. This is not foreign to you. God is not foreign to you. Worship is not foreign to you. We're like an iceberg. People see 10% of us. 90% of us is hidden away. But it's in that 90% that you are with God. I know you have been with God this week, haven't you? I mean, away from what people see, you've been with God. You've laid there on your bed and you've prayed in tongues and you've talked to God and you've thanked Him for all the things that He's done and you've blessed His name, haven't you? Things that people will never hear. It's not for them, it's for Him. And He collects it. He collects it. He waits for it. He may have to wait all day for you to say it, but He waits for it from you so that you would simply say, I love you and I worship you. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. You are my Master. You are my King. You are my Shepherd. You are my refuge. You are my fortress. You're my God. I trust you. It sets everything. It centers you back where you need to be. Everything may be going in a tailspin, but when you make that declaration, it centers you back where you need to be. This week I texted Noel and told him, I said, Noel, as your pastor, I'm declaring this over you, that God is your refuge and your fortress. He's your God. Trust Him, Noel. I believe it. Because you make the Most High your dwelling, you make Him your refuge. That means you go to Him. You don't run to others, you run to Him. He's your refuge. He knows this. You don't run to alcohol or drugs or other people. You run to Him. He's your refuge. Then it says, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. He will command or He will give His angels charge over you. I read something from someone else, and I don't know who, I can't remember their name, so I'm not taking credit for it, but when I read it, it just registered so deeply in my heart because of the King James. It says that He will give His angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. And what they wrote and what they felt like the Lord told them, and I think it applies. I don't think it's taking anything out of context. He says when the angels come on the scene, He said they began to take charge of the situation. They're the ones that will determine the outcome of it. They take charge of it. I want to show you that. I want to show you that in Scripture. In Daniel chapter 6, I don't have time to read all of this. You already know this, but it's just a reminder because of what we're reading, Psalms 91. It says, "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room with the windows open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Nothing was going to intimidate this man." See, God was his refuge, his fortress, his God. There was nothing. Even though the decree had been signed. Verse 16 says, "So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him. When they found out that Daniel would not do what the king's edict said, it says, they came and threw him in the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, 'May your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you.'" Verse 19, "At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. He said, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions?' Daniel answered, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel.'" He says he'll give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. When the angels come upon the scene, they take charge of whatever it is. Whether it's hungry lions, and they'll tell them, "You just keep your mouth shut here. You won't take a bite of this one." And they sit there because God sends his angels. How many times in my life can I go back and realize that God had sent angels? There was almost car accidents that we were in. I had a snowmobiling accident when Justin was on the back of it, when we went over the side of a mountain. And we should have been hurt, but we weren't. And I know we landed on 6 foot of snow just like a pillow because God directed that. I think of when Suzanne Cox was taken by taxi into India and the man drove her to a place to sell her into sex slavery. And she watched as God sent the angels and knocked those men back up against the wall so she could continue on and do what God had called her to do. God will send his angels and take charge of the situation. Not you, he will do it. You do what God tells you to do. He told Daniel, "You keep praying." Daniel said, "I'm going to pray." God said, "I'll take care of the lions." That's his work. You keep doing what you're supposed to do on that job. You keep doing what you're supposed to do in that neighborhood. And you keep living the way God tells you. And God will supernaturally protect you. Come on, somebody say amen. This is pretty good preaching, I'm telling you. He said he'll give his angels charge concerning to guard you in all your ways. That's why you're doing his work, though. Not doing your own thing. No, it won't work that way. The moment you quit doing what God wants and you start doing your own, friend, and you're taking your life into your own hands, they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. These are symbolic terms of demonic spirits, the lion and the cobra that will come at you. And you know this one because it's one of my favorite, but in Luke 10:19 it says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you." See, we carry such an incredible supernatural authority in our lives over the power of the enemy. And he knows it. Once we take our place in submission to God, that we are exactly where God wants us, doing exactly what God has called us to do, then when we take a step and resist him, he has to let go. He has to run. There is no other way. He has no other foot there, no other hold there. Can you say amen? He says, "You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent." This talks about the mighty demonic spirits, the strongholds that happen, things that come at us in our life, things that happen, strongholds that are built up around us. But here we go again in verse 14. He comes back to that. Here's the condition. "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. Will I satisfy him and show him my salvation?" You know, I think not only with accidents that could have happened and things that could have cut our lives short, I think about the tumor that could have cut Debbie's life short. And God says, no, that won't happen either. He said, I'll step in and stop that. See, God, there is nothing that can come at us and stop us while we're doing what God. You remember what Debbie said when God spoke to her? He said, you haven't been to India yet. In other words, everything was predicated upon her finishing what God had called her to do. Nothing can remove us. Nothing can stop us. There's nothing the enemy can throw at us. He can't bite us. He can't inject us. He can't throw us to a brow or a hill. He cannot do with us what he wants like he can do with the rest of the world. He can't do that with a child of God. Oh, man, we ought to praise God for that. Oh, praise you, Lord, that he cannot do that. That's why it's so important, parents, that you get your children into a relationship with the Lord, that they understand it. So all their life, they are under this provision and this protection of God. That they understand there's going to come a point in your children's life that they're going to have to learn to spend time with God alone. And they should have seen you do it many, many times as you bow your knee on a couch or beside your bed and open up your Bible. They should see that. It should be imprinted upon their spirit that I saw my mother and my father as they bowed before God. How many know that's a healthy vision? That's a healthy example. You've got to fight for this because the enemy is fighting against us. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him. He will do this for us. He says, if you love me. And see, that was, and I'm closing with this. What time is it? 12:09. Okay, I'm closing with this. This is the last verse I want to bring out. In John 21. I want to leave you with this. In John 21. Verse number 15, I think it is. I think I forgot to put this one, but this, you know this. Is it up there? Okay. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? That was the bottom line. It wasn't that you have failed me, that you have denied me, and that there was no hope for you. He said, what will connect us together is that, do you love me? Do you love me? That will be the very thing that will connect us and keep us in relationship. And that's what Peter said, yes, I do love you. And that's what he says in Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, he that loves God and makes God their dwelling, their refuge. Folks, we can do this. I don't have to tell you we're living in very dangerous times, very perilous times. There's not a one of us in here that does not want the divine protection of God. We want it. We have to have it. But we can't just reach up there and say, well, I want it. And this is what God says. No, it comes out of a life that is hidden with God. Let's bow our heads. Father, today we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for your promises to us. We thank you for the hope that you give us. We thank you, Lord, that you will divinely protect us.